We've been friends a long time. We can discuss anything, right?
Sure, bud.
Well, I have an issue.
No kidding. You cheer for Boston.
An issue down there?
Hey, half of all guys experience erectile dysfunction. Heard of Felix? Felix connects you to a doctor for an assessment. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations. Treatment is delivered discreetly to your door.
Sounds great.
I just wish you'd be more discreet about wearing that Boston jersey in Toronto.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.
All right, here we go. Overdrive off and running. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker up on TSN 4. Brian Hazio, Doug Jeff O'Neill, Jonas Siegel of The Athletic.
With the rare 4 buttons undone, and if he had any jam and wanted to make a statement, you go bare chest under that and you show the world who's boss.
That would be outstanding. Go James Bond and just let it all fly. Why not, Jonas?
How would you react if I came into the studio like that?
I would be like, this guy's got some sauce.
Yeah, it's like you got style, man. Like,
oh, is that right, what it is, eh?
It's one of those things. Once
you have a hairy chest?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
Get crazy, Jonas.
Come on, buddy.
Let's go to commercial right now, and we'll restart with the chest hair out, and it's James Bond. It's the James Bond Overdrive episode.
I love that idea. Any chances? What's the Jerry's percentage on that happening?
Maybe on a vacation, 100%.
Right. But you're a professional. You're on TV.
When you're in Cancun, that shirt comes out, and it's going to Coco Bongos, and there's no shirt underneath.
Yes.
It's a great feel, man. When you're down on the beach, and you do the full unbutton with nothing underneath, and you're just cruising,
Jonas,
it's a great vibe.
5 buttons down with a margarita in a heater walking down Main Street. Yeah. Is a sight.
Yeah, a pair of aviators on, so maybe a bucket hat.
And a cigar, not a dart, a cigar.
A cigar.
So what's your rules? Like 2 buttons? Like,
dude, you're styling right now.
You can do
I would
you
just
want.
Like to see the chest hair out one day. Well, how about one Friday? You don't have to go 4, you just go 3.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle choice, though. Like, once, it can't be a one-off.
I've done it before, like going out to dinner, and you get a comment or two.
Oh, yeah. But if you're committed to it, and you're like, that's...
In Toronto?
That's the Ronnie Duguay. Yeah. Like, Ron Duguay, apparently, that was his move forever. Ron Duguay would just down to his navel, basically, going to Studio 54.
Buddy, apparently Ronnie Duguay basically told people when he was doing TV work for the Rangers, don't ever ask me to wear a tie.
Yeah, not happening. It does not wear a tie.
And he ain't wearing one.
Everywhere.
Dude, he's not wearing one ever. He made it clear, to my understanding.
Yes.
Don't even think about asking me to wear a tie.
I think I've heard that too. Now, if you played for the team and you were a longtime player, you should have that right. I think Ron Duguay covering the Rangers should have the right to basically dress whichever way he wants. He's got a jacket on. He's always got his hair in absolutely pristine condition.
Doesn't he look like he should be in Bon Jovi?
Yes. Ronnie Duguay, that guy needs a book or a movie or a show.
Yeah.
A show on the life of Ron Duguay in the 70s New York.
I would watch that movie. Like, if you did a remake of that,
yeah,
I'm in.
Tough as Nails, Sudbury, Gritty. Gritty was style in New York
in the 70s.
Yeah, like apparently Studio 54, Ron Duguay was one of the kings.
Dude, he was out there dancing with Cher at Studio 54.
Yeah. Like, dude, it was like, you don't wait in line, Duguay. You roll right in.
Hat-trick, D-floor, share. That's the routine.
That's a life, man. That's a life. Well, Jonas, it's good to see you. And the Leafs are back home and back in action tonight. You talk about a lifestyle. Like, you get into games in December, there's a little bit more pop, a little bit more atmosphere, right? Some gifted tickets, some parties beforehand. Like, I think it'll be a fun kind of atmosphere down on the rink tonight.
You think people have had a couple before they go?
Yeah, Thursday night in December. Like, this is generally lunch parties that roll into dinner parties that roll into let's go to the game. Little bit of a different buzz.
Well, they're playing well, so let's hear it. Let's have a vibe down there tonight.
Yeah. Well, look, they've got points in 12 straight games, and Marner's got points in 20 straight games.
20 straight is nuts.
20 straight is
nuts.
Like, my wife was asking me about it today. Like, what's the record? And
pardon
me.
It's insane what the
record she was asking me about it this morning.
I thought she, like, never ventured there.
No, legitimately asked me, does he still have the record? Was not aware of whether or not he kept it going on Tuesday. I said, yes. And then, you know, she said, well, do you think he can break the record? I said, absolutely no chance. Like, and she, but she brought up a good point. She's like, well, if he, when he was five games into this, do you think he'd get to 20? I said, no, but he's got to get to like 55.
It's 51.
Is it 51, Gretzky's yeah, you know, record? You know, there's no way anyone's touching that.
He had 153 points, if I'm not mistaken, in that 51 game.
In 51
stretch,
games.
Which is just like stupid.
It's actually
a different
stupid
era, but like, come on.
That's why, again, we keep bringing up Ovechkin, and he had two empty netters last night.
What a gift that is.
It's such a gift to get two.
He had 10 last year. He scored 50 goals and had 10 empty netters.
Yes.
Which like, is like...
Him still being good on the ice for the second one is borderline insulting for the opposition.
No, he just looks at Lavi and shakes his head.
I'm staying up.
Don't even think about it.
Absolutely.
I'm staying out here.
Yes, and if you got a problem with it, take it up with the owner. Because guess why I'm here? And guess what I'm not retiring till I hit 895. So go talk to the owner if you got a problem, because I'm scoring goals in a Capitals uniform, and he's going to benefit from it greatly. It's going to be very lucrative.
Well, don't kid yourself. Lavi understands that.
Of course he does.
He would know that you got to chip away at that, and to get there, you need those games where you're getting two empty netters.
He's under 100 now. He's got 99.
You don't think 99 got the odd empty netter here and there?
His most famous goal, I would say, was 50 and 39, and it was an empty net goal.
Yeah.
I'd say that's his most famous regular season goal. Like, even more so than passing Gordie Howe.
Yeah. A-Rod, see how many total 99 has empty net goals. I bet you it's...
How many do you think Ovechkin has?
Well, Ovechkin's up to 795 career. I'll bet you he's got 60-plus.
I was going to say 85 empty net goals.
Yeah.
Is that too many?
It might be. I mean, but Jonas just said he had 10 last year, and he just had two last night. That's 12 right there.
Right there.
I think he's got at least 50 empty netters.
Anyway, to get to that amount and that number, you've got to have empty netters along the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, last night, that's what it was about. Even McDavid was padding his stats. That game was... That tic-tac-toe, that backhand sauce by Draisaitl last
was
night
so
was
so disgusting.
So disgusting. And then McDavid wraps it around, and McDavid got two late goals. He had 4 points. And we're burying the lead. We haven't even mentioned Tage Thompson.
Five.
He had five goals. He had four in the first period.
Yeah.
Tage Thompson had 5 goals last night, 6 points, 4 goals in the first period. What a night it was last
night.
They
were nice goals.
Dude, he had four.
Really
I saw
player.
Twitter, and I saw the four. I'm like, okay, I got to throw on the Blue Jackets and the Sabres right now. Not often do I do that. And I'm like, this guy's going to get six for sure. And then he got the fifth one with that wrister. I'm like, it's party time now, and he just, it never happened.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Like, you get to 5 goals, 6 points before the third period, I believe. You got to be pushing, like, Sittler's unrealistic, even at 6 points. Like, with a period to go, to think you can put four up again seems unrealistic.
But the record for goals in a game is six,
it's,
right?
Seven, I believe, in a game. Yeah, so... That's he was two away. Like, that's where it's... There wasn't an empty net situation because Columbus was so far behind and they weren't going to catch up. But I don't think it's, like, against the unwritten rules to double shift him in the third. Just give him as many opportunities as he can get.
Even in a blowout?
It's history, though.
I guess.
Like, put it this way. If he was chasing 50 on the season and he was sitting on 49... And that was the 82nd game. He'd be out there constantly.
Oh, yeah.
So why is that arbitrary historical number allowed where you'd say, of course you play him all the time and not like an individual game record?
Yeah, and when you're Columbus, when you give up six in the first, your ability to complain about anybody padding anything, it's lost. I'm sorry. It's just like you're so bad in the first period you give up six, everything's wiped off the board as far as your complaints.
Yeah.
Like you stunk the joint out in the competition part of the game. You don't complain about what goes on after that. If somebody wants to go out there and try to get 10 points, chew on it. Because the coach already hates your guts, and he's not going to hate you anymore if 10 go in.
Yeah, you established that after the first period.
That's exactly right.
The coach hates you. I couldn't stop thinking about Johnny Gaudreau because Calgary's in town tomorrow night. They play Columbus tomorrow, then they're in Toronto on Saturday.
It's like Johnny Gaudreau went to the LIV Tour.
He is so irrelevant.
Dude,
I mean that, like, I with all due respect to a great player, not even on the radar. It's not even the LIV Tour. It's like he's playing in Asia or something. Like, Liv at least pops, like you see it trending. I have not seen his name online. I haven't seen anyone discuss how he's playing.
And
I don't know if
this was the desired effect. Because you don't even, like you said, you don't, it's, when he was in Calgary, and maybe he wanted to get away from this haze, I don't know. But every day, it was Johnny Hockey, you know, 3 points, whatever, Flames. And what, I don't even know what his stats are, but you never see any Johnny Hockey.
I don't see anything.
And I got to be honest, nothing. I think him and Laine, they probably like it like that. Maybe they do. Maybe that's why they're there. I mean, Laine didn't really have a choice, but...
Yeah, he chose Columbus. He turned down money, term, obviously a better team in Calgary. The reports are that Jersey was at least interested. I don't know what happened there. But if Jersey was available to you, how do you go to Columbus over Jersey? Look at the Devils. Look how much better they are. Albeit, I didn't predict this either. I don't think anyone saw them being this good, this dominant. But he's also an East Coast guy. Columbus is in the Midwest. Like, it never made any sense. Dude, like, Jersey's close to Philly.
I don't even care. Like, you had to kind of like Calgary. You were there for a while. They offered you 8 years at 10.5.
And he turned it down.
Isn't it a family thing, though? The U.S. wanting to be in the States?
Possibly, but again, his family's in, like, outside of Philly. He's in
the
Columbus.
Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
It is, like, America, though, right?
It is, but that's a long
way
away.
I think we overrate, and I don't know this, you would know this. I think we overrate how much guys care sometimes about winning. I'm not saying that's the case for him, but I think, oh, I only want to go to a place that I can win. I don't know, like, if I was... That would be important to me, but it wouldn't be like the most important thing to me, I don't think.
It's a business transaction. There's a lot of different things you have to consider, for sure.
General happiness is a major factor. Big where it's just like, yeah, I want to be in the States. I'm American, blah, blah, blah. And you're right. Not everyone's like, I can't go there because I won't win a cup there. That's not the
thing. Well, clearly it wasn't a priority for him, because I'm sorry. If you go to Columbus, they have no history of winning. None.
His duration there, they'll struggle to make the playoffs. It'll be a grind to make the playoffs. It's like, not like 1 year they're comfortably going to get into the playoffs.
They are dead last in the East and likely will finish there the way things are trending. They have a minus 34 goal differential. listen to that. Minus 34 goal differential. Only Anaheim is worse. I believe only Anaheim's given up more goals.
I mean,
actually, I guess Vancouver and San Jose.
To be fair, their best D is out for the year, right? Werenski was out early.
Sure.
But...
Even with him in the lineup,
I was watching,
not much better.
Let me ask you guys this. What do you think of Calgary now? Because I was watching them last night, and it's like, I really like their team, but it's like they're just missing him. You know what I mean? Like a little extra pop.
Well, if Huberdeau could kick his game into high gear, then
yeah, maybe
it's almost like that could be better than him. But his game's not there. Like, speaking of the highlights and Twitter and stuff, you're not seeing Huberdeau.
No. Huberto's not the guy that comes up. The chat out in Calgary is about their goaltending.
Yeah.
Like, last night, I thought Markstrom was playing, and there's Darth Vladar. Like, Vladar goes in and gets a win. Gave up too early, and they end up winning outright against Minnesota. That's a big win for them.
How are you supposed to sign goalies? Like, what are you supposed to do? Just be like, roll the dice and be like, that guy.
Well, I mean, Markstrom's case was a sound case when he left
awesome
Vancouver. And last year, he was outstanding. His first full year, he wasn't great. Like, based on the contract. Last year, he was a Vezina candidate, and now this year, he's lost, effectively. He's lost his confidence and lost his ability to make big saves. And as a result, Vladar is legitimately past him.
Like, you look in Florida, Spencer Knight's like their number one.
Absolutely.
Bobrovsky's making 10.5.
He's been terrible. That's the story of his career, though. He's got two Vezina trophies. Like, that should put him in the Hall of Fame, but I don't know if he can get in there when you have, like, a handful of seasons that are tire fires.
And by the way, isn't this year three of his 10.5 contract?
He's got a lot of term left.
Remember our game, the eject? What did we end up calling that game where you could eject from the contract?
Yeah, I don't think we ever really narrowed down the name.
But that's
a full-blown ejection.
Full eject.
Because it's a new administration down there, too. It's a new GM. He didn't sign him.
Are you
Might
ready
be new
to,
ownership.
Are you
too.
Ready to eject on Campbell now or no?
No, I'm still not. Because Stuart Skinner, Campbell's not this bad.
No, for
like
sure.
He can.
No, it's not. The game wasn't whether he was ready to eject from it. It was Kenny Holland. If he could look back right now, would he press the eject button on it? I'm pretty sure he would.
He would have, for sure.
What's he going to do if they didn't have... Like, I get that Jack Campbell's a mess right now. But if you eject from him... we're going around in circles here, but you don't have anyone to fill those skates.
Right, but it's not a five-year contract.
I understand that, but you might, they're going to need Jack Campbell at some point.
For sure.
He is going to have to play and go on a run, and I think he probably will. He will go on a run at some point. Will he have enough time to get his numbers back where at the end of the year it looks like a good signing or good value? Possibly not. But he might have to get, like, Skinner could get hurt at any point, and he's going to have to play every single night. And, like, that day is coming for Jack Campbell. As for the Leafs, Samsonov going tonight. And, again, it's been, like, nothing but positivity. You got TJ Brody back tonight. They went 9-0-3 with him out in the lineup.
Nuts.
9-0-3. Like, he has been gone for this streak. They have points in 12 straight, and all of them without him.
And seven of those are without Riley.
Right.
So it's like, for most of that, you don't have Riley, you don't have Brody, and you're on Muzzin.
Right, and he's going to pair with Connor Timmins tonight. And I was listening to Al's brother and Julia kind of debating whether or not, you know, is it that they're forcing him back a little bit? And I don't see that being the case at all. You're not going to mess around with a guy like that. If he's not at 100% ready to play, he's not playing. And because you've banked so many points and you've been so good without him, you don't need to force him back. It's not like you're desperate for Brody to come back. I think what has happened here, and Keefe, I think, indicated this, Brody's going to jump around and play with different guys, is their top four has been so good, they don't want to mess with that. Like,
eventually they'll mess.
Eventually they will, but Giordano, Hall, Sandin, Liljegren has saved the season for them the last 12 games.
Crazy.
So they don't want to mess with that. Like, it's actually a testament to them that TJ Brody, who had never missed a game prior to this injury, Mr. Consistency, Mr. Top Four, paying him a good amount of money, they're like, you go play with Connor Timmins. You're not stepping right in as the number one guy. Where based on history and reputation, he is their best defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
Until Riley returns, and then he's probably the second best defenseman.
It'll be interesting.
Pretty incredible.
I'm looking forward to seeing that Timmins kid in game two, because he had a skate issue or something in game one where he was slipping and sliding all over the place. It was just a weird night. I don't know. There had to have been something wrong with his skate.
There was. He went to the bench after that second time, and they got work.
Yeah, but he fell in warm-up, and he fell twice in the game. I was like, there's just something wrong here.
He hasn't played that much either. Like,
are you suggesting he's forgotten how to skate?
No.
What a scoop that would be. Wouldn't that be a report? Would you be able to go with a report like that?
Sheldon, what do you think was going on there?
Got to ask you. Do you think this guy forgot how to skate?
Take a Jack Campbell breather to figure out my skating.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of a concern if you don't know how to skate. But last game was a weird game with all those penalties. You know, like they send the kid down, SDA. What did we see out of him?
Nothing.
Nothing. I don't. He was just kind of out there.
A little weird. Like, they brought him all the way up to Dallas.
Yeah, but they don't know.
I don't know.
They
didn't actually have to play him. Like, they had Malgin, they had Simmons.
Right. They gave him a shot.
They wanted to give him a sniff, and they just said, "That's your.
That's
sniff,
enough,
and you're going back down."
Yeah, I think that was probably always the plan.
But like, to bring him all the way, I don't know.
Yeah,
dude, it's the big leagues. It doesn't matter if the game's
paid
across the street or he's going to Dallas. That's it. That doesn't matter where the game is.
And he got paid. He got NHL pay for a few days. And, you know, he's waiver exempt, so it's like you're going back down. Right? Like, it sounds like Simmons is going to play on Saturday. Things are moving. But in the end, the Leafs are in a good spot. They're in a good spot, and they're back in action against L.A. tonight. You can hear that game right here on TSN. Watch it on TSN4. We got a big show today. Fred McGriff, the crime dog, is coming up. Hall of Famer at 4:40. We'll get into a number of things with him, including being a part of one of the biggest blockbusters of all time that really benefited the Jays.
Do you want to ask that?
Like, well, I'm not going to phrase it that way. I mean, listen, he can't control it. Like, and he got his World Series with Atlanta in 95. I wonder if there'd be bitterness. There had to be bitterness, the fact that the Jays immediately win back-to-back, effectively.
Trust me, there's like, you're cheering against them. I left a team after 10 years, and the year I left, they won the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, that hurts.
It hurts!
Yeah.
It's just like, you're seeing everyone celebrate with the Stanley Cup, and you're like, man.
But he got one in 95, so...
That takes away.
It has to make it a little bit easier to digest, right? So, yeah, he's going into the Hall of Fame. Fred McGriff, he'll join us in about 20 minutes. Darren Pang was calling the game last night, Buffalo-Columbus. So ask him what that was like up close and personal, watching Tage Thompson absolutely destroy Columbus. And we'll tee up Leafs Kings with him. Get into the Raptors win last night. What Fred VanVleet had to say last night, he's fighting the algorithms, man. That's a legit beef that a lot of people have, myself included. We'll play that clip if you missed it postgame from Fred. Jonas Siegel's in here from The Athletic with the O-Dog. Jeff O'Neill, I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. So the Raptors, they didn't win by 20 last night, which is what I was predicting, but they did win by 13, which was enough to cover the number. Spread was 12.5. Vegas, man, it's always right around that number.
Somebody was pumping your tires about your picks. Didn't all of them?
Yeah, I went 3-for-3 last night.
What were the other ones?
Edmonton by more than 2 goals.
That was a tap-in?
Yeah, Boston to beat Colorado.
Man, tap-in. They just keep rolling.
Tap-in. Well, and Colorado's got nothing. They got nobody in their lineup.
Yeah.
And Rantanen left the game at some point last night. Like, they're really holding on for dear life. Like, listen, it's pretty clear what's happening here. Just get to the playoffs. We talked about that yesterday. And once they're in, if they're healthy, who's going to bet against them? But we've seen crazier things.
Bit too, though. Like, even at full strength.
Yes, with Kadri gone and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Landeskog's been out all year.
Makes Tampa's run all that more impressive,
man. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So last night, yeah, the Raptors win in cover, but it was exactly what we thought it would be with no LeBron James and no Anthony Davis. What I found interesting was Westbrook still came off the bench.
They have to keep the role thing clear for him.
I know.
They've been doing that all year. Well, not all year, since they made the change.
What do they have to keep clear?
They don't want to get back into the situation where you're putting him back in the starting lineup. Like, I don't think he wants to come off the bench.
No, he's miserable.
Sure. But he's been pretty good in the role, so why would they change it just because...
It's so obvious. Now, like, I guess when Davis and LeBron are playing, you know, it wasn't working with Westbrook. No. But they didn't play last night. So, like, there was a part of me that just expected them to say, all right, Russ, you're back in for tonight.
Yeah, it's your show tonight.
Yeah. But still, actually, you got to sit and wait and go through your routine and then come off the bench. And he played 28 minutes last night. He wasn't overly effective. It's 16 points. But the story going into it was Fred VanVleet and his shooting. And Fred did not shoot the ball overly well last night from three. He was decent from the field, 8 for 20, but 3 for 12 from the field, from three, 6 for 6 from the line, though. But he was asked about, you know, following and unfollowing teammates, because I guess the media was kind of sniffing that out, that something was going on with VanVleet on Instagram. Like, he had been unfollowing teammates. Which,
what?
Yeah, and that's a modern story. Right? That's modern journalism, isn't it, Jonas?
I would never do something like that. I don't care.
Somebody always figures that out, though.
But it's worthy of, I think, asking the question.
Is it?
Yes, it is. I mean, that for young guys...
We're not journalists, but I'm with you.
I think it's something, man.
Oh, man.
It's something.
And by the way, that is not an algorithm. That is you unfollowing.
He decided to unfollow, and he had a back and forth.
He didn't like their content.
Well, his explanation is one that I think Fred's speaking for a lot of people right now, because there's some goofy stuff going on. Specifically with Twitter, I've realized ever since Elon Musk took over, I'm seeing people I don't follow all the time. I'm like, why am I looking at your tweet? If I wanted to, I know who you are. You're a public figure. I don't follow you, though. So why am I seeing your tweet about something that has nothing to do with anything I'm seeking out? So I think people are getting frustrated, and VanVleet might be a beacon of hope here. He's basically saying just unfollow everyone or the people that you think are causing your issues with algorithms. Which I don't think is accurate. I don't think, like, Scotty Barnes being on Instagram is affecting Fred VanVleet's Instagram. But he's trying to get to the bottom of what's wrong here. And he had a pretty funny interaction after the game last night with Michael Grange. And Grange is a very reputable, you know, tapped-in reporter with the Raptors. Like, he's been covering them very closely for a long time.
And a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like, a good guy and a guy that he's not trying to sewer anyone down there. And he wasn't trying to sewer Fred, but he was legitimately wondering what was going on. And this was the back and forth after the game last night.
I can't believe I'm asking you this, but...
Don't do it, Mike. Don't do it. You are going to be the guy out of everybody... Okay, go ahead. I'm disappointed.
As a grown man... Kids. I can't believe I'm asking you, but
breaking my heart, Mike.
Follows on Instagram.
Breaking my heart, Mike. I just want you to know that. Look at me. Breaking my heart, bro. I mean, listen, the fact that we have to talk about this is crazy in itself, but no, just trying to fight the algorithms, man. I'm checking my page, and it's like all I don't follow.
See, I love that comment from him. Fighting the algorithms. Like, I feel like he's my spirit animal because I'm going through the same thing. I'm like, why am I looking at stuff? What's the point of a follow button if you're just going to get content from people you're not interested in? What's going on here? Fred Van Vliet's trying to get to the bottom of all this, and I like it. I think Fred's onto something. And anyone in that room, you got a problem with that? That's your problem. Fred's got algorithm issues, and it's a bigger concern for him than, you know, your online relationship.
So if all of a sudden you stop following O, is that all it is?
Absolutely. If I got to, now, I wouldn't do that to you.
Be honest.
If I unfollowed you, what would your reaction be?
Be pissed.
You'd be pissed.
No, one time
you'd
Drake
be pissed
thought he
too.
Was fun. One time Drake was at the World Championship, and he blocked me. So I was going through, there was some scoop out there or something, so I pulled up Dreg's Instagram, and it says, blocked. So I call him up, and I go, Dregs, I don't really care about this, but you got to explain why I'm blocked. And he just started laughing, and he's like, we were going to just try to see your reaction. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, I got to be honest, I really wouldn't care.
I think you'd care. I think you'd ask
Dude,
me.
Are you for real?
I think 46? You'd ask me.
I would ask you, are you pissed about something?
Right,
I guess
exactly.
The only thing is, how would he know? He's not going to, like, lurk your page.
But in today's world, unfollowing somebody is kind of a bigger story than just, like, I don't know. I think it's a big deal. Like, I think you generally don't like somebody.
That's the way the reporting
works. Like, you could say fight the algorithms or whatever, but I'm not buying it. That's a built-in excuse, and you are buying into it.
I'm buying into it.
You are, apparently, too.
I'm buying into it.
But for some reason, me and Jonas aren't seeing that on Twitter, but you are.
I see a lot of people on Twitter, even on Instagram.
Dude, I get stupid, like, gadget things. Oh, buy this. That's I don't see, like,
yeah, that's
random
an ad,
people's.
But
I don't see random people's tweets that I don't follow.
Okay.
I've never heard of that.
I think he is right. I think it has changed since.
Yeah, Musk is up to something.
There's something weird going
on. The Twitter files. We need Twitter files on that. You know, that's what
But you know what? If I ever write a story about who's following who on
So you're telling me No. Hold on a second.
You have to, punch me in the face.
Hold on a second. This summer, July 1st, Austin Matthews unfollows the Maple Leafs. You're telling me you're not tracking that?
Dude, in modern day sports, that's the beginning of the end.
Absolutely.
Is he following them now? I don't know.
Assume he is.
Who was it? Kyler Murray unfollowed the Cardinals?
Everybody. Yeah, Debo Samuel did the same thing when he wanted a new deal.
Oh, yeah.
Max Domi did it in Montreal. Remember, Max was the guy that did it. And then before you knew it, he was out. He was in Columbus. So you're telling me, Austin, you get word. I send you a text. Hey, Jonas, you see what just happened? Austin Matthews has unfollowed the Maple Leafs. You're telling me you don't write about that or track it? You know you do. You know you have to. You are obligated to follow that story.
You brought up Kyler Murray. That's a good example because, like, he was clearly pissed at the Cardinals. Didn't he want to be traded?
No, he wanted money.
He wanted a lot more guarantees.
And then what happened? Didn't they sign him?
He ended up getting it.
And
what he wanted.
And put a clause in it that he can't play video games on game day.
Did he follow them back after?
As far as I know, his page is back. Like, because he basically just got rid of everything. Like, any association with the Cardinals were gone.
Right. It didn't even say, like, quarterback for the Arizona.
No, and I think he deleted the photos with them. Like, everything. That's pretty significant. But I credit
you're right.
Like Grange was saying, he's like, I can't believe I got to ask you this question.
Well, because I feel the same way.
Yeah.
But like, if all of a sudden Matthew stopped following Marner, I'd be like, that's weird. But I don't ever check. I don't care.
Right. Exactly. Why would you check? Someone would have to tip you off.
Yes, like you.
But
guys, I can't believe I'm even saying this, but in today's athlete, if they start unfollowing some of their teammates, it's a story.
Absolutely a story.
Because they're pissed about something.
Something's going
on. Just like you said, now that I'm thinking about it, if you unfollowed me or blocked me, I'd
be
like,
weird.
I would call you and say,
of course.
What the hell are you doing?
And likewise, I'd be like, what's your problem?
What if Jeff was posting like crappy content and you're like, enough of this guy?
I'd mute
you
him.
You mute him.
You mute him and they never know any better. Maybe
mute
I've already done that. The mute is a beautiful tool.
Yeah.
Oh.
And Fred's got to figure that out. The mute avoids all the other garbage.
Although that's this Musk character. He's going to come up with a way so people can see who's muting who. And
that's,
I know that that's coming.
That's my biggest concern is there's a big leak on mutes. And it gets and you can search, like, who is Brian Hayes muted? Because there's some heavy mutes. There's some heavy mutes.
I think Noodles has muted 5,000 people.
I think one of us is muted by Noodles. I wouldn't be surprised if Noodles had muted my Twitter account. I wouldn't be surprised.
Why? You don't tweet that often.
I don't tweet that often at all.
Pretty good.
I keep it relatively simple, but he's quick on the mute.
He loves. He might have muted both of us.
Possibly.
He doesn't like anything that we tweet. He doesn't retweet anything.
Yeah, he's just kind of lurking in the background.
I guarantee he looks at our tweets and shows Steph and says, look at these two dumps.
Yeah, that was stupid. Mute.
Let's mute him back.
We should mute Noodles back. Let's give him a...
Should we block
a passive-aggressive block.
Notice?
Yeah, we should. Because if he's muted us and we block, he wouldn't even know anyway.
Exactly.
That's how you find out if you've been muted. You block the person, and then you never hear from them.
Yeah, and he was business as usual, and then we'd call him out and say, you muted us.
Yeah, that's exactly the way you do it. That's exactly right. Anyway, we got Fred McGriff coming up. Well, let's come back and catch up with the crime dog. He's going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He's going into Cooperstown. And he was on a list with great, great players trying to get in. Don Mattingly was trying to get in. Obviously, guys like Clemens and Bonds and Schilling. But Fred McGriff is on his way to Cooperstown. So we'll catch up with former Blue Jay, World Series winner, and future member down in Cooperstown. Fred McGriff will join us next.
Text coming in from Frank DeChambeau says, these two are frauds and morons, meaning you and Jonas. You change it to timeline instead of algorithm. You get the latest tweets instead of what the algorithm thinks you want.
When did that become a thing?
Dude, that's from Frank DeChambeau. So he says it's on you guys to change your Twitter.
I didn't know that was an option.
I'd never heard of that.
And I don't remember signing up for the algorithm part either. Well, thank you, Frank. You could have sent me a text directly. And Jonas, for that matter.
I think he wanted to get the pot shot in.
Yeah, well, that's a pretty good shot.
Hey, can I ask you guys a question that I wanted to ask you in the first segment? What do you think is a more likely record to be broken? The 10 points in a game or the 51-game streak? So and I was thinking there's one points. Guy who I think could do both, and that's McDavid.
You think
I was
McDavid?
Thinking, which is more likely could he do? So, I think it's 10 points.
I think it's probably a magical night, 10 points. Like 51 games in a row.
Well, it would have to be 52.
52 to break the record.
Just like,
just doesn't seem possible.
But for him, but then like he's never had a streak of 20 games.
No, exactly. I would say Sittler's. But then to break it, you got to get to 11 points.
Yeah.
11 points in a game.
That McDavid's going to get 10 points one night.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I kind of think he's right.
How, though?
I don't know. You play like Arizona, like they get eight last night.
They did last night. They get 4 points.
Arizona, like a bad team coming down the stretch after the deadline where they've unloaded their good players and they don't care and they're hungover. Someone's getting 10 points.
He's the guy.
How often do you see in a game 10 goals scored?
Dude,
never
Tage
happens.
Thompson from the Buffalo Sabres got 4 in the first period
last night
against a sleep.
He finished Cage with 6 points.
Yeah,
think about that.
He only played 13 minutes.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing, though. It's also the honor of the game comes in, and the coach is like, we're not going to play you 25 minutes. Because if you're on pace for 11 points, game's probably over.
But
you know, what you
LA,
need is your goalie to be awful. You need it to be 11-9.
The 9-8 game. Remember LA had that 9-8 game in Seattle, I think?
Yes. Just happened like a week ago. But I don't recall anyone being close to 5, 6, 7 points.
You're right. It's too... Yeah.
We were beating Boston one night, and we had a 5-on-3. I came out of the penalty box to make it a 5-on-3 Leafs. It goes back to Coco, and he takes... Because I'm like, I'm not going off. Because I was getting the signal from the coach, get off. I went right out there to my spot in the slot, and Coco takes a muffin wrister from the blue, and the goalie gobbles it up. I wanted to fight him right at center ice.
Yeah, change. And then
I was done.
Yeah, then you're out. That's too bad.
Come on, Coco.
Yeah, that can't happen. Anyway, Fred McGriff, we're going to catch up with him in just a moment. Is he Xander Bogaerts, your boy?
Yeah, my Padres.
Your Padres?
They are
Where are they getting
up.
All this money?
I don't know.
And are they saving any for Juan Soto?
Well, they must have if they paid the price to trade for him.
I don't know. Like Soto, they've got him under control for this year and next.
Yeah, and then they got to pay.
Like I think Machado is probably going to opt out after this season. I think that's what they're waiting for. But Bogaerts, you just gave 11 years at almost $300 million. You got Tatis Jr.
Judge.
They were in on Judge for $400 million. Soto's going to demand, you know, $40 million a year or whatever. Like do the math on that. It's probably going to be a $400 million contract.
Oh, it's going to be $5. Remember, he turned down $440 million, I think.
He better play better than he has in San Diego to get that money.
He's
these
the
eyes.
Greatest hitter that's ever lived.
These eyes. All right, we got a Hall of Famer on the line. And former Blue Jay, a fan favorite up here in Toronto, World Series winner, one of the great nicknames in baseball as well. Here is Fred McGriff. How you doing, Fred?
What's up? Good.
Yeah. I mean, Cooperstown. What do you make of that? What was that reaction like when you got the call?
What I'm saying. Yeah, what you're saying. It's a beautiful thing.
I guess.
No. It was awesome. More icing on the cake. You know, I was been blessed just to play, just to get one day in the big leagues. And now we get to the point where I'm a Hall of Famer. It's awesome.
Did you feel like you were in competition with the other guys who were on the list, you know, seeking out votes? Like, what's that experience like where you know you're on the list, you've got a chance? I'm sure you heard leading up to it there was a good chance you could get the necessary votes. Like, did it feel like a competition with the other guys trying to get into Cooperstown?
And it's tough because, you know, if they come out with the eight players that's on the ballot and so forth, and then you try to break down all the different players, and then 2 or 3 weeks later come up with the 16 people that are voting. So now you start analyzing each guy, and you're like, okay, you got Paul Beeston, Kenny Williams, and then you break down X players, and you're like, okay, like, did I hit a home run off this guy? Then you're like, okay, you don't know. So it's tough. It's tough.
Okay, let's throw him on hold. We got to try to get this going. This is too good, man. We're talking to Fred McGriff and his phones.
Yeah, we need a clear.
Got to get a clear line. Because I appreciate that he answered that question. But I was kind of, I was thinking, this is a fork in the road. He may just say, nah, everyone's great. But he's like, I was legitimately trying to map out how I'm getting the votes. Like, who's on the voting committee? Who am I going up against?
I think you would drive yourself insane doing that. Like, just looking, am I better than this guy? Am I going to get the call?
But wouldn't you? I think I would do that. Like, I don't. I think that's a natural reaction. Like, you want to get into Cooperstown. You're an athlete. You're a competitor. You know you had a great career. This is your chance.
At least you know who the voters are. The NHL or the Hockey Hall of Fame, we don't even know.
Right. And with, like, the Cooperstown votes, when it's, what is it, over 400 writers all have votes, and it's like a completely different calculation. This was a lot more condensed. We got Fred McGriff back on with us. Yeah, Fred, you were just taking us through kind of how you were running down where you're getting your votes and how you're getting your votes. And obviously, in the end, when it works out, like, who's the first person you called once you got the call?
Well, I was at home with my wife and daughter, so we just chit-chatted, and my phone started blowing up. But like I was saying, you know, it's tough on guys that have to vote, you know, because for the most part, baseball is more of a fraternity and so forth, and, you know, everybody knows everybody, and, you know, the longer you play, basically, you know all the guys in the league. So for those guys voting, you know, it's tough on them because they're either picking their, the max, they get three, you know, they get three votes max. So that makes it, that puts a lot of pressure on guys because you're like, you're telling yourself, like, okay, if this guy don't vote for me, when I see him next time we golfing.
Yeah, understandably.
So you mentioned when you got the call, did you have, like, the camera set up in the living room? Because I've always wondered, when people do that, and they actually get the call while the camera's on, they had to have been tipped off that they're getting a call, haven't they? Yeah. Was yours just the standard phone call and there wasn't the fanfare and the cameras?
Yeah, because, you know, I'm not really superstitious, but you don't want to jinx yourself. You know, because you see situations where, oh, yeah, they get all the cameras set up and they got everything, and then they don't get in. So I was going to be the opposite. I'm like, if I don't get in, only people is going to be me and my daughter there and wife, and that's going to be it. You know what I mean?
Well, you got the call and you got in. We're chatting with Fred McGriff. You mentioned that your phone blew up. How many former teammates reaching out and were they kind of saying, hey, we feel like we were along for the ride? And you mentioned the fraternity. I'm sure a lot of your former teammates almost feel like they're going in with you in a way.
Yeah, former teammate, ex-players. And it was some guys that I had never played against that were giving me a call. Dennis Martinez called me, and I had the Ken Griffey Jr.'s and Larkins and a whole lot of guys across the country. Because the thing about it is, over the years, since I retired, you know, you go and play these different golf tournaments and you run into these ex-players, and they're like, man, Fred, you know, you're a good player, man, and you got the stats and numbers, and you're not in the Hall of Fame, and so forth. So I probably had about 1,000 texts far in the emails, and obviously I got so full that people were trying to call me, and you know, it was like, Fred McGriff is no longer taking voicemails. it was hilarious.
Fred, we were debating beforehand which team you would go in with. How do you make that decision, and what are you going to do?
Well, the thing about it is in the next week or so, I'll sit down with the people from the Hall of Fame committee, and the people, Jane Clark and so forth, and we'll come up with a decision and go from there.
Well, obviously, there'll be a lot of people up here rooting for the Jays. You'll always be known as a Blue Jay up here in Toronto, and that's how that's where you started your career. You were obviously a part of one of the bigger blockbusters in MLB history, and we've never had the chance to ask you about that. Like, when you're involved in a deal of that magnitude, and then the team immediately ends up winning a couple of World Series, what was that kind of next 2-3 years like for you to be such a big part of the Jays in the late 80s, early 90s, and then be a part of a deal of that magnitude, and then to see them finally get over the top and win? How kind of difficult was that for you at the time?
Well, at the time, it wasn't too bad because, you know, the Blue Jays had a good team, but we also had a good team out in San Diego with Gary Sheffield and Benito Santiago and Tony Gwynn. Bruce Hurd, we had a good team, and the thing about it, our owner at the time, Tom Warner, he decided to tear up the team. You know, he said baseball ain't gonna work in San Diego, and so that's when he started trading everybody and so forth. And then the Blue Jays went on from there and won 2 championships with Cito Gaston as the coach. But the thing about it is, you know, you just go on. You go out there and you try to play. You're trying to get your team over the hump. But I still had buddies from over in from my Toronto day. You still had the Kelly Grubers and a few other players that I played with. And so to see them win a World Series, Pat Borders and Stoudemire, those guys like that. To see them, so it was cool to see those guys win. Because as a player, baseball is a team game and individual game, and when a team comes together and won a world championship, so you're pulling for some of the guys.
Well, and obviously you got yours in 95 with the Braves. I mean, that is that the pinnacle moment of your career? When you think of one moment in time, do you think of 95 mm-hmm. in Atlanta?
Yeah, because like I was saying, that's it. Your goal, like in football, it's we're trying to win the Super Bowl. And in baseball, it's the World Series. And with hockey, it's the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And down here, you know, my Lightning, my Tampa Bay Lightning has been rolling. Was that a great series with the Maple Leafs?
Yes, it was.
The Maple Leafs
We don't talk about it.
They had the Lightning.
Yeah, they had them.
Okay, but they had them beat. But, so when you finally come together, and you like how I threw that one in there, right?
Yeah, thank you for that. We appreciate it. Yeah, that one hurt.
No, but when you come together and win, it's outstanding.
With Fred McGriff, who's, again, just got the call, he's going into Cooperstown. In terms of all the money being thrown around, I'm always curious how ex-players feel about it, like $300 million deals. Aaron Judge is going to make $40 million a year starting this season. How does a former player who was around for a long time and built this sport up the way that you did, how do you react when you see some of these contracts?
Yeah, you just laugh because it's crazy. You know, they're playing with Monopoly money now. You know, mm-hmm. it's funny how, like, you turn on a sports radio show or something like that, and they throw around money like it ain't nothing. Like, oh, yeah, he just turned down, like, $200 million. You know, he turned down $300 million. like it ain't no big deal, right?
Right.
But you know what kills me is when a player is in spring training, right, and a team is trying to give him $200 or $300 million, right? And he says, he goes public and says, if this team doesn't sign me by spring training, then I'm not going to negotiate with them. It's like, dude, what's wrong with you? If a team wants to call you at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning, you can call me anytime. You know what I mean? You're telling the team, you know, if you don't sign me by this and that, forget it. It's like, what's wrong with these people?
I agree.
But now you got you got average players that are making $30 million a year, $20 million. I mean, it's crazy. I don't know when it's going to stop. You got to tell yourself, like, eventually.
Yeah, you would think there'd be some sort of limit on that, but I don't know. I don't know, man. There's a lot of money out there in baseball, clearly. He is Fred McGriffin. He's on his way to Cooperstown. It's obviously a lot of pride for that up here in the city of Toronto, Fred. A lot of people really happy for you. So congratulations on that. Good luck with everything building up towards it. And thank you for doing this today.
Appreciate it. All good. Thank you.
You got it. Fred McGriff, big Tampa Bay Lightning fan. He is a native of Tampa.
Yeah, I love how we said my Lightning.
Yeah. Wouldn't they be your Lightning if you were a Lightning fan?
Oh, yeah.
They sure would be these
Tampa,
days.
I didn't even like hockey. I would still say my Lightning.
I saw something about their attendance. Like, naturally, it should be. It's sellout every single night.
It's such a good atmosphere, too.
Yeah. I've seen a game down. I saw a playoff game down there. Game 7 against Philly in 04 on their cup run. It was unreal. Awesome down there. So thanks to Fred McGriff. We appreciate that. Hour 2 coming up. Darren Pang will join us. Tony Buscelli on the Thursday Nighter. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.
So it's kind of hard to say, but I have a problem with my package.
Wow. Have you heard of Felix? Felix can connect you to a doctor to medically assess erectile dysfunction with no face-to-face conversation. And if applicable, they will deliver treatment straight to your door.
Wait, so a package... for my package?
Yes, a package for your package. From Felix. No appointment, no pharmacy visit, no awkward conversations.
Go to felix.ca/drive to start your online visit.